I'm Delta Work, and it's time for one more Very Scary Delta, where it's been Halloween all month long. Madame Laqueer is here, but first, do you want to see me go off? Because I think you want to see me go off.
M.
Oh.
M.
Are you a ghoulita like me? Do you want to suck blood like me? Do you wear a sexy nun costume just like me? Do you wear hypnotique at Halloween like me? Do you drink green jello shots like me? Do you love fun size candy like me? Well, if you do, then you must be
Very Scary Delta.
I'm Delta Work, and this is Very Scary Delta, a luxury public access podcast and YouTube talk show where I look gorgeous, speak extemporaneously, and invite fascinating people to sit on the couch and get Very Scary Delta. Very Scary Delta is for the woman who once went to a hell house, and it was called Home Goods. But first, let's get into some things that are Very Scary Delta.
Ghoul off, Delta!
Here at Very Scary Delta, we are looking towards a very warm autumn. Autumn is a time when we gather, when we join in friendship and camaraderie. And we don't always do that at home. We do that very often at a restaurant. And I think it is high time that restaurants start incorporating something new, something innovative, something that we've all needed. Restaurants need to begin having a display outside of their store, outside of their front, at the very top, that says the temperature inside the dining room, that says whether or not they have working restrooms, and says whether or not they have tables or booths or both tables and booths. And these can be done in just universal symbols, right? When I was coming up as a kid, there was every bank had the time and temperature outside. And so that would say what time it was during the day and what the temperature was in Fahrenheit. I think restaurants need that. I am tired of going to some of my favorite restaurants thinking, ooh, I'm going to have the best meal. I've been looking forward to this all week. It's my day off. It's going to be great. We're going to beat the crowds. And I get there and it's boiling hot. If I had known that in advance, I wouldn't have gone there. I wouldn't have called friends and said, hey, let's meet at Joe's and have lunch, and then get there and realize I cannot have my Reuben sandwich. It is too hot in here. I cannot have a Diet Coke. It is too hot in here. This whole idea is something that in the eyes of many people might deter people from going to that restaurant. But I tell you what, I could be harsher. I could be a cruel mistress and say that what else you should include in this whole thing is how long the wait is going to be seated. But I'm not asking for that. I don't want the restaurants to go without business, but I think that it should be known. If your menu is online, you should be able to tell people it is a cool temperature in here. Nobody wants to eat in a restaurant that's 86 degrees. Nobody, I don't really care about everybody else. I care about me. I don't want to go into a restaurant and jam myself into a booth like Baby Huey. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I want to sit down and be comfortable and luxuriate. I want the table where my chair is with my back against the wall. You know, in my former life, I was a double agent. I like to know where my exits are, right? I need to know when I need to pull out my Glock. I want to know what's going on, what's happening around me, and I can't do that crammed up in a booth. How am I supposed to get out? I think that these restaurants really owe it to us to let us know exactly what we're getting into, and I think this could be branded. I think this is a place where Yelp could jump in. You know, people can go on Yelp and write the shittiest review about a place. You never see an overwhelming amount of people writing a review on Yelp that's positive. You never really get that. Or you never really get people saying on Yelp, like, I realize it was a little bit busy today, so my soup was kind of warm, but I get it. It was the lunch rush. No, people go in there to terrorize and to say how horrifying everything is. So if they can go in there and shit all over everybody, the least that Yelp could do is provide something that says, this is the average temperature of the dining room right now if you were to go there. And these places should report that to Yelp. This is how many tables are available in this place. This is how many booths are available. I have a favorite restaurant I go to. It's in Cerritos. It's called Wood Ranch. I love it. They have one table there that is a half table, half booth. And we love it because we get sort of the intimacy of the booth, but I'm not sitting with my fucking gut on top of the appetizers. Can we just be honest? Like, you see me, right? You know what I look like. If you work in a restaurant, why would you not say when someone walks in, did you have a preference for a table or a booth? That sets the tone for everyone to go, I've opened this up because I'm aware based on other people who have been here. And some people that are the size of the house, guess what? They want to jump inside of a booth, and God bless them. If you want to go in there and knock the wall out like Mr. Kool-Aid, fucking go for it. I don't want to. I want to feel comfortable. I don't want to be on top of anything. That's me. And I think we can alleviate all of those questions. It no longer becomes a human one-on-one job. It's completely separate. It's a fact. It's written outside. We have tables. It's like a little symbol of a table and a little symbol of the same table with a line on the side. Maybe that means booth. I don't know. We can figure this out later, what the exact images look like. And I have no problem being part of that team that approves what these look like. But every restaurant has to have the same, not just like their own like logoed mom. Like, it's not going to look like that and then turn it upside down and it's wow, or vice versa. Like, it's not going to be that. It's going to be the same for everyone, kind of like those gold seals that say best of the Southland, or the things that say, I don't know, this is a gold star restaurant. They all look the same. You can't have your own. That way, when people are driving by, they look at the logo of the restaurant and they go, oh, there it is. There's my favorite restaurant, Gray Sweatpants Jumping Jack. That's the name of the restaurant. And then you go, oh, there's, I don't want to stop at that one. It's 96 degrees inside. But the one up the street, well, I mean, it's a nice 70. That's where I want to eat. That's where I'm comfortable. That's where I'm not going to vomit. That's where the temperature is going to be so nice. It doesn't cause me to feel like the bubble guts. And then I'm going to shit right by the salad bar. You know, these things, this will help everybody all the way around. When you eat in a cool environment, or maybe it's wintertime and it's raining. We don't know. It could be raining in July. You know, this ball that we call Earth is on fire. It is hot one day. It's cold the next day. We don't know what's coming at us, but we can control the air conditioning. We can control the heat, right? You need to display what the environment is going to be like inside the restaurant. I think it's real. I don't think it's fucked up. I don't think it's a reach. I don't think it's a weird expectation. I know I complain about weird shit and fry the small fish. I feel like this is a big fish. I feel like this is a big old fat sea bass. I feel like this is a huge one. And I think it's really easy. And I think if restaurants don't want to participate, well, then I don't know what. You don't get to be on Yelp or something. Somewhere, somehow, there's going to be a reason. And I know people are going to say, well, gosh, I mean, if you put that out there, then it's not going to be fair, because then the restaurant might lose business. Well, why would the restaurant want to lure people in and have them like come in and have a bad experience? If your experience is so sickening and you're so fierce and you want people to come in, tell us outside why we should come in. Put a sign out there that says, come in here and enjoy a wedge salad. It's 70 degrees inside. Put a sign up there that says, like, fatties can come in here because we have room. Like, say something. I'm giving up on you. Say something. I'm giving up on you. Mark? When I go to Wood Ranch, I like to have the two meat combo. And I like chicken breast and I like pulled pork, but I don't want any of the sauce on the pulled pork. I want that on the side. And I like to have a loaded baked potato with that and a corn on the cob. And it seems like when that plate comes, like, everything is so enormous. But again, I apply my Olive Garden principle to it, because we always order chips and salsa there. And they have thin chips and they're long. And then the salsa, like, let's be honest, it's not really a salsa. It's just like a tomato sauce with a little onion powder in it. But it's good. I love it. And they bring you rolls, the buttered garlic rolls. And then I also order a house salad. So once I eat my house salad, right, like a dinner salad portion, and I eat chips and rolls, I really just kind of pick at the rest. And I'm like, can I get a box? Can I get a box? And then I take it home and baby, I put it in the refrigerator. And then I forget that I have leftovers until they're rotten. So I waste all that money. But I will tell you this, if you ever go to Wood Ranch, there are a few around. The trick is you have an amazing meal at lunch, right? You can get that lunch portion and it's plenty. I mean, if I'm telling you it's plenty, I'm telling you it's plenty. Because, you know, I'm a connoisseur, which is a nicer word for picky or bitchy or a complainer. But if you get the dinner portion, so the dinner portion is, if you say I want chicken breast, it's two breasts. So say you were like, oh, I want the two meat combo and I want it I want both proteins to be chicken. You're getting four chicken breasts on the plate that are like that. So, dude, it's plenty. Like they will get you together. I like their brisket. It's cute, but I like brisket burnt ends at Lucille's better. There's different things that I like at each location, and Lucille's is like a number one for me. The only reason that Wood Ranch kind of jumps down on that is like, the people that go do kind of think there's like a little bit bougie sometimes. Like it's a little bit like, I think Wood Ranch is trying to be like Texas barbecue, whereas Lucille's is just trying to be like Southern specialties, right? So they go across the board. I like both of them. I have a place for both of them. I will say if I'm in the parking lot, for sure, just driving through a parking lot from where there's, for sure, driving through a parking lot where there's a Wood Ranch, like the payoff in just the smell alone will make you want to go in there. You don't always smell that that barbecue or that smoker outside of Lucille's. It's amazing inside, but you don't always smell it outside, but you definitely smell it outside of Wood Ranch, and it's everything. Ooh, I'm ready for lunch. Do you want to see me take a break? I think you want to see me take a break.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime.
Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
The new Star series Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is. You won't be able to look away as you've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Can you imagine setting your son up to seduce a king? Girl, I couldn't take my eyes off the screen as I watched this historical psychodrama unfold. The show is full of wit, scandal, and action in a genre-bending story that is as sexy and audacious as it gets. You need to check it out. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Stars and on the Stars app. She's here, she's LaQueer, she's Madame LaQueer.
And she ain't gonna disappear. Hi.
Hey, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. How are you?
I'm doing great. You look absolutely stunning. I feel like I whenever I tell you this, I always feel like when you pay someone a compliment, it's you don't want them to think that you're placating them or you're like bullshitting them. You have my favorite face from Drag Race. I just think I remember when we first met, I was like, you are just so stunning, and you're someone who can wear simple makeup or you can wear extravagant makeup, but you just know your face. Have you always loved doing makeup?
Oh, I've always loved painting my face. And this is the thing. And thank you for that. Usually in me as a non-drag persona, I'd be like, I would not believe the compliment, but I am coming for you. I appreciate it. Oh. And thank you. And I love to paint. Like ever since I started doing drag, like I saw my face as a big canvas. Like I didn't start doing pretty makeup. Like when I started doing drag, I started doing like double eyebrows. Mm-hmm. Like I would pretty much put every single color on the cheap eyeshadow palette on my face, mm-hmm. one corner orange, green, blue, you know. So I wasn't particularly going ever for pretty, but pretty just happened, like it just happens to come by, you know. The glam part of the makeup,
sure,
it came later in my drag career versus mm-hmm. you know, the extravagant, edgy, you know, out of this lines
right
kind of makeup.
It just sort of evolved.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, but you're like a creative person all the way around. You love creative hairstyles. Something that I think separates you from a lot of people is that you are very creative when it comes to your performance mixes. And you really put yourself fully into those.
Yes. That one, yeah, that's one of my biggest things when it was in drag. For example, back in Puerto Rico, I used to be the go-to queen for all pageant mixes.
Like okay.
There would be days in the pageant where all talent mixes were all made by me.
Wow.
So like I did a continent mixes for Continental. Like the word got out and I started traveling out, you know, doing mixes for national pageants, fashion shows, and for a while I was actually making a little bit more money and making mixes than I did with drag.
Mm-hmm.
So and mixes for some time actually became my main thing. Mm-hmm. But you know, eventually, you know, the technology advances and we have programs that do this for free. Everybody can, you know, do their mixes. So that part I'm not doing anymore, mm-hmm. like for other people, but at least for me, I kept that skill set, and I just, you know, take it to town.
Yeah, I feel like as we progress, you know, as we progress, once upon a time, you could only get jewelry from a handful of people. Now you can get jewelry a lot of places. So when you say mixes, I do think there are people that can connect a couple of songs together and they have the technology for that. You can do that on your phone, but you really will incorporate, which is what a lot of people love to do, movies, dialogues, video games sometimes. I mean, I've heard all of that.
That's
in your mixes.
That's my thing, yes.
Yeah, where does that inspiration come from to do a mix?
It's just, I pretty much, it's kind of like the mix is out there. It's just waiting for me to find it.
Okay.
So, like, I'm listening to the track. So, what I do, I listen over and over and over. And that process sometimes takes a minute because not all the time. All of a sudden, it comes in. Or I'm looking at a commercial. Or I'm on my phone scrolling and I listened. Oh, my God, this would work perfectly for my mix. Let me just add it to it. And it's a bit of a process. But and once it's there, it's beautiful. Like, once I hear it, oh, my God, this is the mix. This is how I knew I wanted the mix. I just didn't know I wanted it this way.
Right, right. Do you ever, I know, like, sometimes I'll hear a clip of something and I'm like, I need to save that, download it and save it. I don't know where it's going to go or what it's
going
to go for.
It's going somewhere.
But I'm going to use it, right?
Yes.
It really, and you feel so great. And then when you realize where you're going to use it, you like can't stop. You're like, I have to mix this now.
I have to finish it now.
Right.
Yes. Oh my God. That happens to me so much whenever I'm doing mixes. It's like, I'll be like three in the morning and like, I got to go to bed at a decent hour. I have to go to bed at a decent hour. But I'm doing this mix a little sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Date light comes in. I'm like, okay, I'm still working.
And you
you can't stop. It's,
yeah.
It's it's like popping a zit. You know, mm-hmm. it's like the satisfaction of, you know, realizing that it's done. It's out there.
Right.
So yeah.
I wish I was better at the technical aspect of making everything like kind of sound like one, you know, one perfect level. I know how I want the story to be told, but like those technical spots, I'm like, I need to like really master this, really understand this. But I think it just takes time. But that knowing that story the way like you like to tell your story. And again, I know nothing about video games, but that's something you know a lot about.
Yes, I've been playing video games, I think, since I was in the womb of my mom. Like, I probably had a little Sega Genesis in there or something. Well, no, back when I was born, it was Sega Master.
Okay.
Because I think my first Christmas present ever was a Sega Master 2.
Wow.
Like, and I've had, I was poor, so I didn't have Nintendo, but I had neighbors who had Nintendo, so I would go to their places, I would play Nintendo at their places, then came the Super Nintendo, mm-hmm. and then at some point I'm like, I want a Super Nintendo, and then my mom finally gets me a Super Nintendo, and you know what's the funny thing? Mm-hmm. I used to play this Aladdin game back in the day when I was a child, and you know, the movie, 1983 Aladdin, and that game was just amazing. It was just amazing, but at the same time, it was difficult. It was very punishing. You died once, you had to start over. There were some codes, but you know, you don't want to cheat. You want to take the whole experience and do the whole game. Funny thing, when I moved to California 10 years ago, my friends over there had a Super Nintendo, and they had that Aladdin game. First time I've ever touched that game in 20 years. I played it from beginning to end, not one single death.
Wow.
All muscle memory.
Wow.
So that's kind of like one of those things. Is that once you start going, you know, you learn, you're on it. It's kind of, it's like a gym for the brain. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
So your
strategy.
Exactly, because you have to think. Like currently, I play games like Overwatch. Like you have to actually like strategize. What are you going to do to counter the enemy and stuff like that. So and stuff like that. So it's kind of it keeps you on your toes. So it's as I said, it's a gym for the brain, and it's one of my favorite things to do when I'm not creating, when I'm not working. So,
what would be the Madame Lequeer video game?
That would be a shit show.
Would it?
Yeah, it would be a shit show. Definitely very chaotic. Mm-hmm. It would have to be chaotic. I would say it would be a cooking game.
Oh, okay.
It would be a cooking game.
I like this.
And at the same time, you have to battle the enemy, but the enemy are screaming kids.
Okay. This is for the house. Is this going to be for the housewife?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, okay. It would be kind of like a housewife style. You know, you just got to make sure like the kids are entertained. They let you cook. Also, you got to battle the nosy neighbor who comes in the door. And what are you doing? Do you have coffee? Like, I'm cooking. Let me be.
So, would the main character be she would
exactly?
Be you.
Yeah, the main character would be in the kitchen. Would make sure everything's clean. Would make sure that all the food is laid out.
And she would look like you though. Of course.
Yeah. She would have to have the boobs out too.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And she'd have to have the whole body.
Yeah. So obviously it would not be a game, definitely not a game for kids, even though it's a cooking woman, but it's not for kids. Definitely not for kids. Yeah.
Okay. I like that. You just hit on when you lived in Puerto Rico and then you moved here. You've been here 10 years.
10 years. Yeah,
10 years in LA.
This is my 10th anniversary.
And you're like in downtown now.
Yes.
I don't want to say specifically where. I'll just say in the region.
In the region.
People get crazy and you'll go look for her. I'm not going to tell you where she is. Downtown means a lot of things when you say downtown. Some people say KO, that's kind of K-Town. It's kind of the arts district. It's kind of the fashion district. But you are, in fact, in the area 10 years.
Yes, I've been in South California for
Southern
10
California,
years.
Yeah.
I came in exactly on 4/20, 2013. It wasn't planned. It wasn't planned.
I think it was.
No, it wasn't. I promise you it wasn't. But I didn't even know when I landed here. It was 4/20. It's like, wait, what's 4/20? So, you know, it's when you, it's the day where, so we need a day for that?
And do you,
oh.
You do,
oh,
huh?
Yeah,
you do. That's why I think sometimes that's part of the inspiration for your mixes, because you will go on a story in those mixes. So that's got to help inspire you.
Funny thing, I used to do mixes before I smoked weed. So
okay.
I feel like a weed for me is more recreational, and sometimes it makes me slower. So that's why I don't particularly mix when I'm high.
Really?
But sometimes it helps. Sometimes it helps.
That's all you with a clear head.
Yeah. It's clear head. Pretty much the music is the music in my head is automatic. It's not cost.
Can we get some fly in some weed for Madame so that we can get her high and then see what the mix sounds like, because I'm telling you,
those mixes, I only perform them once, and all of a sudden I listen to them, I'm like, nah, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna do them again.
Yeah, that's so funny. We were off camera talking about the fact that you live in an area where sometimes, like in the Long Beach area as well, limited parking. And so you can have the option in Southern California in a lot of areas to purchase parking. And then it ends up being anywhere from $150, $300 sometimes a month.
Yeah, that's pricey.
Everything is so expensive anymore.
And what about waiting lists? Like you have a waiting list for a parking lot. And then once you make it to the parking lot, once it makes it to your name, is what, $300, $400 a month?
Right.
Fuck off.
Right. So do you you currently park where?
I park like 3 blocks away. Like I have to force myself to do cardio. If I'm gonna move my car, I have to know like, okay, bitch, you're gonna cardio. Put your headsets on, keep walking straight, do not look at anybody, wow. Just keep walking.
And you know, the interesting thing about that for anybody that's from somewhere else that doesn't experience this, that doesn't mean that she's parking somewhere that is that she doesn't have to pay for. She still has to pay for that.
Oh yeah.
It's a little less, but it's not really it's a huge bill. And that's everybody in LA and Southern California. I mean, unless you're further out, like where I live, obviously I'm off the beaten path, so I don't have that. But anybody anywhere closer to where the life is happening has to fucking eat that cost. It's gross. And everything's expensive right now, especially.
Everything's very pricey. Yeah. In particular in highly populated areas where there's also like touristic, you know, where there's tourist traffic.
Right.
So all prices are going to bump up. Like even I walk into the Pollo Loco in a downtown area and I'm like $17 for a salad. It's like the fuck?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I'll make my own.
That's what we have to do. I'm not going to make my own, though. But I am going to go to break.
You know, I cooked last night. I cooked last night, and I was thinking, I should bring Delta something. But I heard the episode that you don't do home cook from anybody.
I do. Just strangers.
Okay.
Strangers. You're not a stranger.
Okay. Then I should have. Damn it, I should have brought. I made some arroz con gandules last night.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
It's a Puerto Rican dish, and my best friend just gave me some sofrito. So sofrito, it's kind of like the heart of Puerto Rican seasoning.
Right.
So I made some last night. I was like, you know, I'm just gonna bring in a little container and have her judge my cooking.
Oh, I wouldn't judge it. I would devour it. I would devour it. I love that. Let's take a break. And we are back with my good friend, Madame LaQueer.
Yeah.
It's Halloween. I'm curious, what scares you?
What scares me?
And it doesn't have to be a horror film. It could be just someone's behavior. It could be somebody clipping their toenails in public. I mean, it could be anything that's just scares the shit out of you. Maybe that disgusts you. It doesn't scare you. It could be different.
What scares me? I'm gonna tell you what scares me. Kids at a pool scare me.
Yeah,
that's scary to me. Scaring to me is people having a full on conversation at the deli section at the grocery store where all the food is already laid out.
Uh-huh.
But they're like right next to the food, and the food is already open, and I'm hungry, and I'm gonna go for probably that yellow rice and that tandoori chicken, and there's people having a conversation right in front of that food. Like, baby, could you please move away?
Right.
So your essence doesn't fall on the food.
I never thought of it phrased that way. Your essence. That's a nice way to say it.
Yes.
You mean your funk, your breath, your spit. People are farting. It's just gross.
Oh, my God. No. And let's look at the because I've seen it with my own eyes.
Right,
like the random just kid and I'm like, oh my god, I love
that. Uh-huh. It's gross.
So
that scares you, but
yeah.
But what do you love about grandmas? Because I know this is something for you. I know this is a subject.
Yeah, that's my thing. Like I was raised by my grandma.
Uh-huh.
So my grandma took care of me. Like, I think if it wasn't for my grandma, I would have ended up in dead gangs or dead.
Oh.
So it's kind of like whenever I meet an elderly lady that has that warm feeling, like I can easily connect it to, like I remember I worked at what I worked at, can I say it, the store?
Yeah,
I worked at a CVS in a beauty department.
You did, and I remember that.
Yeah, in Orange County, I worked at different stores, and most of my customers were ladies that could have been my grandma.
Mm-hmm.
In real life, and that helped. I connected with them so easily, and it was it was this thing. It's like instant love. Like, I love my grandma, so I can love anybody's grandma, pretty much.
Right.
So, it's like the home meal. It's like the home cooked meal. Right. It's like the conversations. Like,
comforting.
They're thrilled to see you. And it's always joyful, because at the same time, most of them, and let's put it this way, all of them are just sort of retired, right?
Right.
So once you're retired, you got nothing better to do. As in, your time is, well, it's better spent,
right,
by things that matter most other than work.
Mm-hmm.
So for them, the essence of life is not working and making money, and the rush is just having a good time.
Right.
Have you eaten? Are you okay? Do you need so? It's that caring, it's that compassion and that warmth that just, you know, like a moth, I'm attracted to it.
I love that. I love that. Do you love grandmas as much as you love marijuana?
I say they're right there.
Yeah.
They're right there.
They're very similar.
They're very similar. They both bring you warmth. They feed you if you're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's... Even your parents loved marijuana and loved your grandmother. So they're right. Both loved by my parents.
You really found a way to clean that up. I like that. I like that. Not that it had to be cleaned up.
Oh yeah,
but you know
my parents were potheads before I was born, so that's why I can say it.
Yeah, my parents too. My parents too. I think it's just generational.
Not while I was born. Like, they didn't actually. I think that my dad told me that he quit after I was born, but before. Uh-huh. Hands down.
So while your mother was pregnant, you don't think she was getting high at all?
I'm not sure. I don't think my mother would have directly admitted that to me, but I know my dad did. And I remember the smell. This is the thing. I didn't smoke weed until I was about like 26, 27 years old. Like, I never tried it. I was very like, oh, no on drugs. I wouldn't do this or do that. Like, I tried it, you know, and I thank my grandmother for that, because my grandmother makes sure I stayed, you know, like, say no to drugs, you know, go to bed at 9 p.m. I mean, I don't go to bed at 9 p.m. to this day. But anyways, it helped, but I feel like I made a conscious decision as an adult. I want to try marijuana, and I tried it. I tried it, and I loved it.
Yeah,
and yeah, and
everybody loves it for different reasons. I feel like, as the years progress, I feel like when I smell weed, like, I don't know if it's just because it's grown so many different places and there's so many different kinds, but whenever I'm somewhere and I smell it, sometimes I'm like, ooh, that smells like dirt weed. Like, is that good? Like, are people enjoying that?
Oh, yeah, you got
that?
Cheap weed.
Yeah, you like, smell, sometimes yeah. You smell it and it's like skunk
good,
ass.
Good weed. Oh, well, I like the cheesy skunky. That's just my preference, you know.
Cheesy skunky.
Yeah, there's different types of smells, because it depends on the type of weed. There's more fruity, more cheesy. And there's like the skunky, cheesy skunky. So I remember that first time I was in California, like, oh my God, somebody has a tree farm around here. My friend, no, that was a skunk. So
that's like, what I'm saying. I'm just used to like something that smells like beautifully herbal. Like, that's what I remember as a kid.
So you like the fruity more.
I don't smoke weed, but I'm hold space for everybody that does. And I think,
okay.
I don't think of it obviously as a drug, because I feel like it's coming from the earth. It's wonderful. People, and it has so many healing properties for so many people.
How do you think our ancestors communicated in the past?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So they're like, for example, at least for my behalf, like the cacique in Puerto Rico from the Taínos, they used to like the elders from the tribe, they used to smoke in a large pipe from an unknown leaf that would grow on the, you know, in the area. And everybody would just assume it was tobacco. It's like, nah, it's not tobacco. It's fucking weed.
Right.
I bet you it was weed.
Right.
I wonder how they think the elderly spoke to them. You know, it's all about experience.
Do you speak differently when you smoke a peace pipe?
My English, not my English, my accent just gets thicker.
Which I love. I think your accent is stunning. It's so beautiful.
I get more chatty. I get very chatty, loud, and my accent just gets thicker.
I love that. I think there's something about you that a lot of people don't really know, and that is that you, in the past few years, have had more of an interest in filmmaking.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I've not in the past few years, to be quite honest, I've always wanted to be in the film, like, even as an actor. Because when I was a kid, my dream was, I wanted to become an actor. But, you know, drag just happened to find me, and I took it. I was like, you know what? This will do.
Sure.
So, but I wanted to, and at this point, you know, and basically set the desire to be in front of the cameras that, you know, decided to throw out there your star potential. Mm-hmm. And right now I stumbled into film, and I feel like it's a great avenue to also be creative, to employ all the skill sets that I've learned throughout my career in drag.
This is so true.
All the connections I've made, and I think that this is a great opportunity to branch out and you know, and also elevate not me but my community, elevate other drag queens, and if this gives me an opportunity to create and bring more people together, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, and you were recently working on a short film, yes?
Yes, I did.
Tell us.
Daddy by Second Act Films. I worked on that film since the early stages of the film, and during the casting, the signing, and then I happened to be in the film. So I play. If I were to give you a quick synopsis of the story, is gay young man falls in love with a daddy and gets heartbroken. So it turns into a gay fatal attraction.
Oh, okay.
So we're looking for a thriller. It's queer horror, pretty much. So,
I'm on board. I love this.
It's the bloody, the messy, and you know, we haven't had a gay killer in a minute. So we have a gay killer now in the film.
Okay.
Okay. It's fun. It's just a fun. It's a fun short film. It was very, very nice to make. I played Cece, the killer's roommate / best friend.
Okay.
And it was a very interesting. It was very interesting experience working with experienced actors, because even though I'm experienced on the stage and I'm what they called me a natural. Like they're like, you're what we call a natural, like, even though you don't have the right training, but you can do this. Because I feel very good. Like when I saw the footage, I was like, oh my God, I can act.
That's so cool. Well, and you just said, like, incorporating all the things that you know. And this isn't your first time working on a film, because you've worked in several different aspects, including that Christmas movie. The Wow Christmas movie.
Yes.
And I know you worked behind the scenes.
I did behind the scenes for the Bitch Who Stole Christmas.
Yep.
Yes. Oh my God. I was brought in by a dear friend who found me performing at the Abbey, and he's like, oh my God, I need you for this film. Let's get you in. Do you make your own stuff? Like, okay, perfect. Bring your sewing machine. We need you in.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm in. And they sequestered me for 3 weeks, and I loved it. It was a great experience.
And it was just like a fun movie. It really showcased a lot of different people. But again, it's another example of, I feel like people who are able to work a long time in what we do are people who know a little bit about sewing, about makeup, about hair, about modeling, about acting, producing. Just as we were even talking about mixes, you know, going back to that, I think it's really, it showcases when somebody can make a mix, even if they don't know the technical aspects, they could possibly learn that. But telling a story in 5 minutes, or showcasing, highlighting just the important parts. You know, when you make a mix, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, I need all 5 minutes of this dialogue. And you're like, people are going to listen to about 30 seconds of that broken apart. You have to find the best part. And you're like, it's all the best part, but you have to figure it out. And that's what's so great about your working on the film in front of the camera, also being there for casting, then working on, like previously on the Christmas movie, you are showcasing all the stuff that you do.
I am.
Do you love that?
I'm living. That's one of the main reasons I also came to California.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to branch out of just being a drag queen. I wanted to maybe have more of a creative outlet.
Sure.
And what better than, you know, Los Angeles, LA, Hollywood, the movie industry. This is amazing. It's a wonderful world. There's different opportunities to create content, to create stories, and, you know, and let the world know your craft.
I love it. I love it. Let's take a break. We are back, and we've just realized that Madame did not bring a joint. and
I could have.
We are in the smoking section. Technically, this part is the smoking section of the restaurant,
and it's perfect. It would have gone perfect with the Halloween decoration. Yeah. There I go hitting the microphone again. It could have gone perfectly with the Halloween decoration. It would have created a smog effect.
Yeah, I think it would have been nice.
Oh,
it would have been nice. It's time to open letters from the Very Delta listeners and viewers.
Let's see.
In a segment we call Read Me Delta.
Read Me Delta.
If you'd like to send a letter with questions or queries or mild observations, you know, don't get crazy, you can send them to readmedelta@gmail.com. The first letter is here in the beautiful Luar bag. Oh my gosh! It's a ghost peep. Do you know what peeps are?
Is that marshmallow?
Yeah.
That's
my favorite ingredient.
I hate peeps, but I love marshmallow.
Yeah. So this one is probably doesn't have like the sugar coating on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would probably like that versus a peep. I don't know. I don't know. No shame to those who like the peeps, but
right.
Peeps are gross.
Yeah. I actually, my favorite ingredient in any candy is marshmallow. I love marshmallow. I'm going to put this here so everyone can see how cute it is.
I used to devour marshmallow by the bag.
Oh my gosh, that's the best. I want to put 5 of them in my mouth and then I want to like that. Right? Let me see. I'm going to taste this one and I'm going to let you know. This is a little ghost candy. Oh, it does have the sugar on the outside.
It tastes like peeps?
It tastes like a peep. I would eat it. And don't get me wrong. Hold on. You have to cut the sugar with a Diet Coke.
Of course. That's the only way to do it. Only way to do it.
Okay.
If you're not doing Diet Coke, what are you doing?
And what are you doing, right? Exactly. Dear Very Delta, what foods shouldn't people eat on airplanes? Do you have any personal stories? Egg salad stories? Thank you for choosing my letter. My self-esteem could really use this right now. None of my t-shirts fit. I don't like any of my music, and I'm supposed to stop using food emotionally. All I do is stream the Barbie movie and make up drag names that I'll never use. I did have a good meal with my aunt. I'm close with her, and she was visiting. Thanks, Genesis P. Orangina. That's her name. That's a long name. That's a good one, though.
Genesis?
Mm-hmm.
We'll call her Genesis.
I like that name.
Yeah.
Do you have any foods that you think people shouldn't be eating on an airplane or personal stories?
Oh, yeah, okay. like mind the dairy right before an airplane, like no lasagna, mm-hmm. nothing too cheesy. I don't know why people think pizza is a good food to stuff your face with before a flight, you mm-hmm. know. Because I'm telling you, when you fart inside a plane, that fart ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, it's not. Well, you're in a chair in the middle of the air, you know, it's just not good.
Yeah.
Have you seen those suggestions that they're saying to like make more room on an airplane where they stagger the seats? So they're talking about making it where a seat is here. And then the other seat kind of overlaps like this. So the person's butt is completely in your face.
Yeah, you get their butt crack. Everything mm-hmm. that comes out of their butt crack, it comes right to your face.
Right.
Their life, their story, their day, anything.
Right.
You'll know what they just ate. If it was broccoli, if it was cheese, yes.
Yeah, so you're saying not something that's going to go through you and cause a problem on the plane.
Absolutely.
You know, I think for me, it's really... anything like brought on the plane that is really strong in a smell. And, you know, I love all kinds of food. I want Mexican food. I want Chinese food. I want a Subway sandwich. I like it all. But I feel like when you're contained that way, doesn't really matter what you bring. It's going to stay in the little capsule that's floating through the air, right?
But I have a worse one for you.
Okay, what is it?
A mom changing a diaper inside of an aircraft.
That doesn't taste good
at
all.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. I was in the aisle seat and all of a sudden I was like, I could smell the poop on my face.
Right.
Like it was like, and I yearly just say out loud, unfiltered, oh my God, it smells like shit. And then the little kid behind
me said
I'm sorry. You smell it. Oh my God. And then it was like, that was so cute that even it smelled like even if it smelled like shit, I was gonna like, okay, you're fine, buddy. Don't worry.
You felt bad.
Yeah,
because you're a bitch.
Yeah. I felt bad, you know. What can I say? But sometimes I feel bad about being a bitch. But there's parts that sometimes you got to be unapologetic about it.
When you get on a plane and say your flight's going to be 3 hours, 3 hours or more, do you take snacks on the plane or do you like to buy things on?
Oh, no, I'll take snacks. I'll buy snacks at home. But we're frugal. We're frugal. Like, I'm not about to give the airport $7 for a fucking snack.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
I'll spend $4 on a box of whatever signature brand I can get protein snacks, and I'll keep them in my carry on. I'll keep two, three, and then if I'm hungry, I'll snack. I mean, I'll get over the peanut dark chocolate real quick, but at least I have something, and I'm not spending $28.
This part of you, this mom part of you, is coming out again, which I like. It's in the video game. It's in the airplane. There's something about you. You love grandmas. So there's like this motherly thing that I don't think people know about you. This wise thing. I like it. I like it.
Thank my grandma for that.
I never knew that about you.
She was an economy teacher. So she was very, very adamant with economy. Everything had to economize. Like when we bought yogurt.
Smart.
When we bought yogurt, she wouldn't throw out the cups. She would rinse them and keep them. This is what you brush your teeth with. Mm-hmm. Always saving the extra portions, never throwing food away. Mm-hmm. I would rather share with a neighbor. If somebody comes visit, I'll cook more. Oh, that's mentality with my Puerto Rican. And this, I think it's a Puerto Rican thing in general.
Okay.
We like cooking a lot. Uh-huh. Like when we cook like for multiple servings.
Right.
And if we have to save it, we save it.
So, smart.
Yeah.
And smart.
And, like I have some rice con gandule waiting for me when I get home because of that.
It's waiting for me actually. It's waiting for me because we're not far from your home.
Okay,
so,
you're more than welcome. I have enough for two.
I love it.
I have enough for two.
We have another letter.
Yeah.
Where's that other letter? Oh, here it is. We're flying that in. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Happy Halloweeny.
Boo.
Okay. Let's see what we got here. Keep going. This is an unidentified letter because there's no candy or anything on it. So I'll put that over there. Okay. Oh, this is a long one. Jesus. Okay. Dearest Delta and legendary guest, I recently found out that Chuck E. Cheese filed for bankruptcy and will begin closing some locations. I feel in my essence that a Chuck E. Cheese salad bar is very Delta. It's basic, but it hits correct. I imagine you there early in the 90s with baby Ozma celebrating her fifth birthday. She runs around giving tarot card readings for Chuck E. Cheese tickets, and you're sitting in a booth with your husband's family. You're wearing a cropped Spuds McKenzie t-shirt that you won at a wet t-shirt contest in Rosarito, tight, dark, indigo acid wash jeans with zippers behind your calves, and white and pink glittered LA Gear sneakers with ankle pom-pom socks. Your hair is long blonde with spiral curls held in place with mousse and pulled back into a large banana clip. Your hair and body is sprayed with exclamation perfume, leaving a sweet scent as you pass the drunk fathers drinking beer on tap inside the booths leading to the salad bar. Tears for Fears Head Over Feet is playing as you walk by and they watch you noticing them. You get to the salad bar and look around, spotting Ozma in her navy blue white collared sailor dress holding bundles of tickets in both hands. You feel safe to make your salad now. Chopped iceberg lettuce, cherry tomatoes, red onions, olives, cucumbers, shredded cheese, bacon bits, and croutons. You walk back to your booth with a dry salad, sit and pull out a Ken's light raspberry walnut vinaigrette out of your Esprit purse. Delta, is this correct? Do you love a Chuck E. Cheese salad bar? Love you always, Jose LaBerge. We wait for these letters.
I'm living for all the detail, like not the banana clip and not like exactly the description, exactly what you're going to have on your hair, how you're going to smell. Like, baby, Jose, I think you should be a writer. You should do some fucking writing because that was detailed. That was detailed and precise. And
it's so true. I tell Jose all the time. I'm like, you should just be on Cameo because people would want to hear these descriptions. He can describe any woman, but it's really specific regionally. It's specific to the city. It's like he will describe what somebody's 32-year-old mom would be doing 10 years ago, but what she's doing now. Like, he knows the specificities.
And in detail, I can see the attention.
He's the best. He's the best. Is right, though. A Chuck E. Cheese salad bar is bomb. I love any fucking salad bar. But unpopular opinion, I've said it before, I will stand behind it whether people like me or not. If I lose support, that's okay. I'm putting raisins on my salad. I love raisins on my salad.
I love raisins, cashews, and also the cranberry ones.
What kind of dressing do you like on a salad?
I'm diverse on that. I can do any, but I like him, I like ranch. Duh.
Yeah, it's a go-to. Simple.
People are going to hate. I do like my blue cheese.
Me too.
I like my blue cheese.
Me too.
But I would say my favorite is Italian, but like when it's mixed with ranch. Also, pollo loco. Okay, let me. I'm gonna go with very specifics. Okay, pollo loco has.
You have to be specific.
My favorite dressing I've ever tasted, and I think anybody will rival it. Their cilantro dressing.
It's good.
The fucking charts. Order whatever. I'll be like, can I have some cilantro dressing? Like give me a churro. Yeah, can I have some cilantro dressing to go with it?
You know?
I'll order anything with cilantro dressing at pollo loco.
I love el pollo loco, but sometimes I wonder where are the chickens coming from? Because sometimes those legs are little. Why are those legs so small? You know what I think it is? I think because they're real chickens, right? Whereas
the real
KFC
chickens,
is
yes.
KFC is like chickens that are bred for a certain way, so they don't even move and they just grow, and it's sad.
Yeah.
But that chicken at El Pollo Loco, it hits. It's so good.
Oh yeah, Pollo Loco is.
What's your order? What do you want from El Pollo
Loco?
I wish I would have
had Pollo Loco as a kid, but unfortunately, I had fucking KFC.
Mm-hmm.
Pollo Loco. I either order the tinga burrito or the double chicken avocado.
The chingao burrito.
Double avocado tinga burrito, something like that. Always with avocado.
Oh, that sounds always Hawaiian. That's something.
But my
else.
Favorite is the double chicken avocado salad. Okay. It's a salad, but and this is one thing. Where's my Karen wig? I gotta put my Karen wig on.
Do it. That's
Pollo
your camera
loco.
Right there. Let them know.
Pollo loco. I have a bone to pick with you. Why the fuck would you discontinue the black beans?
I support you in this.
The black beans. How fucking dare you? They were the best thing that you ever had at Pollo Loco. And all of a sudden, you out of the fucking nowhere. Nobody said anything. Nobody complained about the black beans. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're just going to take him off. Because,
mm-hmm.
bitch, no. Dumb move. Stupid move. Bring back the black beans. If you can't get the ingredients, figure it out.
You know why they did that, I think? I think they play mind games, all of these places. And I think because El Pollo Loco is... essentially centered in the idea of Mexican cuisine. They were using the black beans to lure in Puerto Rican and Cuban
it
customers. And they got them in there, and then they disrespected you.
They disrespected
and they said,
me.
All you get are pinto beans. And I think it was a game that they were playing, and it's fucked up.
It's messed up. Stop playing fucking games, Pollo Loco.
Yeah, it's rude.
Bring back the black beans.
El Pollo Loco is really uniting us because, you know, I'm Mexican, you are Puerto Rican, but together we can meet under one place
exactly.
and enjoy the same food.
And
but then they disrespected
Loco.
You. And when you disrespect one person, you disrespect all of us.
Of them.
Do you
all
know what I'm
them.
Saying? So
yes.
I can stand with Puerto Ricans, I can stand with Cubans, I can stand with anyone when that disrespect comes because we're all brown
yes.
in the sunlight.
And I speak for all Puerto Ricans, Cubans, Latinos
you do.
Around the world when I say not having black beans is fucked up.
Habichuelas, 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 habichuelas. I'm just doing that so your boobs jump up and down.
I wanted to make my boob jumps. Sometimes
yeah.
I like it.
Why not?
Why not?
Do people tell you you look like Lainey Kazan?
Lainey Kazan? Who's Lainey Kazan?
She's an actress. Just look her up sometime. In certain instances, if they were doing the life story of Lainey Kazan, you would absolutely be cast as Lainey Kazan. She's gorgeous. She's fierce. She's mostly from the 80s. That's where people know her. Gorgeous, big hair, sexy body, boobs, attitude, kind. Lainey Kazan.
But was she crazy as fuck?
Crazy as fuck.
Okay, we've.
Oh my gosh, probably high too. But fierce, absolutely fierce. I love that. I love, love, love that. This was super fun. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
I love this. I'm absolutely going to your home as soon as this is over to go.
Yes.
I'm going to bring a margarine tub that I washed out myself because we do the same thing. Our families do the same thing. It is a thing across the board.
It's a thing.
You never know what you're going to open up and you're like, oh, this is a butter container. It's spaghetti. No, it's not. This is a butter container. No, it's not. It's pork. You never know what it's going to be, right?
It's like a little surprise.
It's a surprise.
It's like a little homemade Christmas for yourself.
Or like the cookie tin and you open it up and it's sewing stuff.
Oh my God, yes, my grandmother had so many of those. She would buy those cookies, but she would eat them slowly. But at the same time, whenever it was done, do not throw the tin can out. I need that for, because she used to, my grandmother was a seamstress.
Okay.
So she was like my first glance at ever a sewing machine.
Sure.
So like, I remember seeing those little cans stacked.
That's so funny. It's so true. It happens in all of our families, I think. Across the board, I think that's something that unites everyone's family, no matter if you're in the middle of Utah, Southern California, probably even, I don't know, in the middle of Puerto Rico. Yeah, I love that.
Oh, yeah. And when you're bored and you have those nice cookies with you, so you just want to like chow down and eat it all like with the marshmallow.
Yeah. And then you open it up and there's no cookies in there.
Nope.
There's sewing scissors. I ate them. Thank you all so much for listening and watching Very Delta. We come out every Monday. Subscribe to Mom Podcast right here on the Mom Podcast YouTube channel so you do not miss an episode. And search for Very Delta on your favorite podcast apps and subscribe to Mom Plus for even more Very Delta. You can send all your questions to readmedelta@gmail.com and you can follow me on Instagram @DeltaWork. Where can people find you on social media?
They can find me at Instagram @MadamLaQueer. They can find me on TikTok. I just opened it, the real Madam LaQueer. They can find me on Thread and Twitter @MadamLaQueer. And they can find me on Venmo, on Zelle, on Cash App as well.
Yeah.
@MadamLaQueer.
And do you do Cameo as well?
I do Cameo @MadamLaQueer.
Yeah. That's so correct. If you want a personalized video from Madame wishing someone a happy birthday or a pep talk or whatever, check her out on Cameo because that's the best way to get that personal attention.
Personal touch. Yes.
You can also follow the show on Instagram @TikTok @VeryDelta because if you're not, you're really only getting half the Delta. Join me right here next week. And until then, make sure you keep things very scary Delta. Boo.
This episode of Very Delta was brought to you by Orange Diamond, the official emoji of the Very Delta Show.
To listen to Very Delta one day early and ad-free, sign up for Mom Plus at mompodcasts.plus. Very Delta is produced by Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom. Hosted by Delta Work and produced by Mark Jacobs. Engineered by Margot Padilla and editing by Doug Robertson. Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Big Dipper, and Joe Cilio.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.